Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys, Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I am here live with Big Cass. Notice my lightsaber on the green screen, but I am here live. We have a YouTube channel officially. We have figured out how to master the green screen already. If you look at my screen, I got the Juice Man touchdown, and I got my lightsaber pointer, so I'm gonna be able to point things out on this. So we are official, Cass. I am stoked. Heck of a job figuring this out, but let's get into it, man. We had a big game against Purdue. Didn't get it done, but I mean, did you have any time to watch the game? What were your thoughts?
Well, I watched the game, and right before the Bengals game, we'll get more on that later in the show, but there's the Jordan Ivey, 3-point shot that sealed the game. But we got to talk about Thursday when they beat Minnesota a little bit. They had a solid win Thursday against Minnesota, but I thought the Buckeyes showed a lot of grit Sunday. Being down as much as they were, I was in and out because I was prepping for the AFC Championship game, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I was in and out, but I was watching the game. But I thought there was a lot of fight and grit. And before we get more in depth into this episode, I want to thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers. It's been a hard couple weeks, especially this week and the end of last week. It's been a lot of feedback from some of our fans who have reached out to me, you know, to the two websites that I work with here at Silver Bulletin and Fairfield County Sports Network. All my friends and family, you know, appreciate. My grandpa was loved by a lot of people. And Saturday we finally celebrate his life down in Georgia. So that's why we're doing a real quick episode tonight here on Tuesday night, which will be dropped hopefully on Wednesday or Thursday, because I am heading to a late night drive. But I do appreciate all the thoughts and prayers that I've gotten from our fans and so many people. You know, it's been very touching, and I appreciate everybody's support for hanging in there and allowing me to hang in there and get back onto the show. Something I love to do.
Yeah, absolutely, Cass. It's good to have you back. It's terrible. My heart goes out to your family and everything. It's just good to have you back though, buddy. It really is. It was definitely, we missed you last episode, but it's great to have you back. I'm ready to talk some sports as always,
yeah, obviously. But yeah, like going back to the game, I thought the Buckeyes showed a lot of grit, and it was outstanding to see how they fought back. I think Malachi Brennan is going to be a stud and a star. He's already starting to show. He had a strong first half, I thought, and he finished pretty strong too. I mean, of course, EJ Liddell, he should be first team all Big Ten, maybe if not Big Ten player of the year. But it's that guy behind me, Jordan Ivey, who I was impressed with. That the kid coming off a hip injury, he's a freshman. He really showed out for the Purdue Boilermakers, and the Buckeyes just couldn't contain them. And I'm not a Purdue hater. I'm not. They're just one of those thorns in a Buckeye side in every sport. That's why I respect them. And Jordan Ivey really showed out, but I thought the Buckeyes fought hard and would a comeback.
Yeah, Jaden Ivey was really good for them. He was coming off the bench, which is crazy. He played 31 minutes coming off that injury, 21 points with the dagger to seal it. Zach Edey for them, they're big, you know, that they're big 7-footer. He took us to town. I mean, he was just literally getting the ball in the post and just dunking it. And the announcer was going nuts every time he made the play. Like, it was revolutionary.
Zed Key's 6'8". Edey is 7'4". Of course, he's going to dunk all over everybody. I mean, but
it was ridiculous.
How long has Stefanovic been there? Number 55. I feel like he's been there for 20 years.
I just don't understand how we don't get a guy like that. Like, we get stuck with RNs, but they get a Stefanovic type guy. I would do anything for a guy like Stefanovic.
The dude plays defense. He scraps on the floor, and he'll hit a jumper. He's not afraid to take the jumper. I know RNs is not afraid to take the jumper either, but we need a guy like Stefanovic, the guy that's going to be a 4-year player that's going to scrap around and and everything. And that's the thing that the Buckeyes need is we need a scrapper.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'll give someone credit. I'll give Joey Brunk a lot of credit. His minutes off the bench, I thought, were huge in this game because he was at least giving Edie fits, not giving up easy buckets to him, in my opinion. He came in and did a really good job against Travion Williams. He only had 9 points, 8 rebounds. I thought Joey Brunk, I mean, he only had 4 points, 3 rebounds, but it was a strong, you know, strong minutes from Joey Brunk. Cedric Russell caught fire quick. I mean, he was ridiculous. He only went, and it was surprising too. He only shot 1 for 5 from three, but I felt like even on his misses, they were good misses. He was like, you know, hitting the rim.
He's streaker. He was one of the stars for the Duke game. And that's the thing about this Buckeye basketball team. There's times where they could beat Duke and the Purdue's. I mean, I think, you know, that was a great game. To me, being down as big as they were against Purdue to come back, fight back in the Big Ten on the road, to lose by 3 on a last-second shot where they did possibly have a chance, which I would have probably fouled to try to give them a chance, you know, make you know, foul, get somebody to the line, and then go shoot your 3. But, you know, that's not the Holtmann way. You know, Holtmann's not a guy that's, I'm going to foul somebody. I'm going to allow my team to play defense and try to make a stop. That's what Chris Holtmann has done in his career at Ohio State.
Well, I don't think you would foul in that situation, though, because it was a tie game. They had the ball in his last possession. You definitely don't foul there. You force them to try to make a shot, which they did. They would make that shot. That would happen to us. Like, that's quintessential Ohio State basketball. It's we make a crazy comeback and get our hearts ripped out on a last second 3.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought Ohio State survived the January blues pretty well. Typically, the January blues have not been good to us. Yeah, we lost to Indiana, Purdue. Who else? We lost 3 games in Indy, and I think we went 500 or close to it.
I believe you're correct. I believe we did only lose. It was Indiana, Wisconsin, and Purdue. Indiana, Wisconsin, Purdue. That's
and we didn't play Nebraska.
No, I mean that one. I feel like you could chalk up as probably a win.
I thought the Minnesota game was huge. I really did.
Because we look good. That was a big. I agree.
We always struggle up at the barn, but we get back in action against the Iowa team. That's this Thursday. That's isn't bad. They're not terrible.
They just don't have Luka Garza. It's basically Iowa without Luka Garza. It's instead of Luka Garza, they have the Murray brothers, who are formidable.
You're correct. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, I mean, they got Iowa this week and Maryland, back to back home games. Which, by the way, concession stands are back open. You can go get you a pretzel or some nachos, get you a beer instead of drinking some Dasani water that's not cold. That happened to me at the Penn State game. I'm sorry, I didn't. I mean, granted, it was 4 degrees outside, but still, like, that was awful. You probably won't have the mask police running up and down the seats, you know, making sure everybody has their mask. But, you know,
it's the worst.
It is. I got to witness it at a Penn State game, which there was no energy in arena. But you're bringing in 2 teams that the Buckeyes should handle pretty well this week and hopefully go 2-0 in the week.
I think we split somehow because Iowa's still a very good team in Maryland. I know they don't have their head coach anymore. They're always a good program. I'd be really surprised if we win both of those at this point in the season, because I feel like I think our blues might be delayed, because typically it's January with all that time off. It might be a February blue, or we might just skip the blues altogether this year because we had that length of time off. I am not sure. It could go either way, in my opinion.
But, and they got games: Iowa, Maryland, at Rutgers, at Michigan, and then Minnesota. They got all that in a 15-day span. That's
buckle
tough.
Up,
buckle up, folks. I mean, it's Big Ten basketball, especially going over to the Rack Center on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I mean, good thing that's not a 9 o'clock o'clock you tip off. I mean,
that's not an easy one though, because Rutgers is a very solid. Like, those four teams in a row are all solid. Even Minnesota is a solid team. These are all the worst team out of that this year is actually Michigan, believe it or not. And Michigan still, I know they got absolutely stomped by Michigan State over the weekend, and they've been dreadful this year, but. I mean, don't be surprised if they, start clicking late. I mean, they still got a bunch of their core players there. They're still a good team. The record, I don't think, shows that, because they've underperformed. But I would not be shocked if they start making a run soon, because they have the talent, and it's rare to see a team, not put it together like that. But
absolutely,
it would be hilarious if they didn't.
You're 100% correct, and Michigan is a team that's not going to go away easily. They fought hard. Even though they lost to Michigan State pretty bad, they're a feisty team. And, it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
I mean, who do you see winning the Big Ten in basketball is my question at this point. Well, two questions. Big Ten regular season champ, and then – tournament champ. Give me your two predictions at this point.
I'm going to go with Purdue winning the regular season, but I'm going to go with Michigan State winning the tournament.
I like it. I'm going to go with Illinois winning the regular season. I still think they're a very good program, and I'm going to go with Purdue winning the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I definitely could see that. I think
Michigan State's very good again this year too. They're definitely back, but I think they'll be focused on the actual tournament. So I think I expect them to probably be like a 2 or 3 seed by the time this is all said and done. As usual, it's Izzo. It'll be month of March is always Izzo.
Oh, for sure. Real quick before we switch over to switch over subjects. I want to talk about somebody that should be on this basketball team that's not on this basketball team, and that is Dwayne Washington Jr. I know we're switching the gears a little bit to NBA talk a little bit, because there's some Buckeye stars right now, but I feel like this dude that I'm getting ready to pop up on behind me. Dwayne Washington Jr. of the NBA Indiana Pacers. Your thoughts on this young man? I know Indiana has not got a good record, but what do you think of this undrafted free agent out of the Ohio State University and his play right now?
He's making me look stupid for getting salty. He left, first of all. It's crazy what he's been doing. On Saturday, drops 22 points against the Mavericks. On Monday, 16 points against the Clippers. He's shooting lights out right now. He's only playing 19 minutes a game, averaging 9.2 points, shooting really well. I mean, that's what the guy does. He shoots well.
40%. He had 27 against the Clippers, 18 against Golden State.
He made SportsCenter last night. I mean, Scott Van Pelt was singing his praises. They were lifting him up on the court and stuff. They were going nuts. It's crazy that between Dwayne Washington and Jayshon Tate, Ohio State for some reason is the basketball factory of just churning out these really good undrafted free agents at this point. It's crazy.
Do you think, I'm sure we've had conversation before, maybe even on this show, but do you think if he would have came back this year, Ohio State would probably be in the top 10 at least, or top 5 at max? And do you think he would be a lottery pick going into next season?
I don't think he'd be a lottery pick. I think he would be a first round, no later than 20 overall. He'd be a top 20 pick.
But I think he'd be flirting with the top 10 pick. I really do. I think if he would have, I'm not knocking the guy for leaving early.
No.
But I think if he came back this year, I think Ohio State would probably beat Seton Hall. They probably would have, they beat Seton Hall. I mean, they probably would have beat Florida. they probably wouldn't have lost some of these games, you know, some out of the five games. They could have only two losses right now, in my opinion, if Dwayne Washington Jr. came back.
I agree. It's curious what we would do in March if we had him.
And he would actually have a pure shooting guard and wouldn't have Justin Arnes starting, who is in a very cold spell right now. I really hope Justin Arnes finds that niche that he had against Iowa. That's what I'm saying. Iowa's coming in. It's a Justin Arnes type of game Thursday. That's my belief on Dwayne Washington Jr.
Yeah, he's just been incredible. I'm psyched for the guy. I thought it was going to be another situation where Ohio State basketball player would bet on themselves, and it wouldn't work out. We've seen that time and time again. But it has worked out. I'm thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for his family. It's awesome. The Pacers are likable, and when he played the Indianapolis last year too. In the Big Ten tournament, in that championship game, he was shooting lights out for the most part. So he likes that city. It's a great fit, and I'm psyched. I think there's going to be big things to come. I think he bet on himself. He won, and he's going to get paid, obviously, down the road for all his hard work and his guts.
Real quick, follow us on @bunch_nuts. Also, T Silver Bulletin on Twitter. We're very active on Twitter. And then go on our website, tsilverbulletin.com. That's where this podcast is now hosted by the Silver Bulletin. Those guys over there do a great job, including Dan, writing articles. I do my weekly 2-minute drill. It's a great stuff over there at tsilverbulletin.com.
Absolutely.
Real quick, speaking on the hardwood, Ohio State women's went over to Iowa. Iowa was ranked 21st in the country. Ohio State was 23rd, and they got the win, 92-88. J.C. Sheldon had 20 points. Mike Sell had 24. Braxton Miller had 10. And Micah Salakova, I'm sorry I butchered your name. She had 17 points for Fred McGuff's Lady Buckeyes. So congratulations to the Lady Buckeyes.
The one thing I enjoyed about that game real quick is, for some reason, I feel like college basketball or NBA doesn't do this. But when you're down and you need to get like let's say you're down 2 or 3 points and you only have one free throw left, I feel like no one ever throws it at the rim and tries to get the rebound. But like Iowa did it. Iowa actually tried to do that and like get the rebound. And I know it's a different game because it's women's, but I like that strategy Iowa did. They didn't come up with it, obviously, because the Buckeyes won. But I felt like that's the first time I've actually seen a team try to do that at any level in basketball.
You see a lot in high school. I do a lot of high school games. You do see it a lot in closing moments like that when it's close. I've seen it like 3 times this year. So I've actually seen it in the first half to end a half.
It's like an onside kick.
To cut the lead. So,
but I enjoyed that. But moving on, I guess, from basketball.
Oh,
there he is. All right. There he is. We have to touch upon it. Our boy, Jimmy, right here. He's ducking Ohio State again. He's doing a cast. It's actually impressive at this point. This man is going to manage to play Ohio State once in 3 years because it looks like he's going to the NFL. Odds first had him on the Dolphins. Dolphins were the betting favorite. It's now looking like, though, the Vikings might be the favorite based on everything.
If he does sign with the Vikings, Justin Fields has a chance to beat him two times. In a season every year. Here's my take. You better get Justin Fields some help if he's going to beat Harbaugh and the Vikings. But it is an interesting thing. I think Harbaugh is more fitted for the NFL. Obviously, look what he did with the 49ers. Got him to the Super Bowl. But it's going to suck. Because now, if you're Michigan, one, you're late in the game. This dude... Tomorrow's National Signing Day, and this dude is going to a second interview. Like, come on. Like, I mean, I know most of the guys have already signed. We'll touch bases on that with Ohio State. There's a couple guys that are going to make it official. But this dude is going to a second job interview on National Signing Day. Is he going to be sleeping in the same room as Kirk Cousins the night before his job interview? Because obviously, with the kick, he spent the night in the kicker's room when he was in high school. I forget what that kicker's name was. It's probably the dude that's there now at Michigan. But come on, like
he's gonna scare Justin Jefferson out of town.
Can you imagine what Buckeye Nation would be like if Ryan Day went to a second job interview on National Signing Day? Buckeye Nation would be ripping him apart.
Well, we would have made sure to pay Ryan Day by now, and that's the problem. That team up north, I think he's trying to stall as much as he can to get that contract from that team up north.
To get it back?
But it's not happening. They're not going to give him a new contract, it looks like. So I think he's done.
Well, heck,
I think
they're looking for a new university president.
Yeah, they don't have the money. They just paid out $500 million almost in that lawsuit. So, I mean, Harbaugh, I'm shocked. I thought he was going to use it as leverage. I think it's become apparent that team up north is not going to give him a bigger contract after beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten. I think he's done with that Michigan. I think he's accomplished what his goal is: win the Big Ten, beat Ohio State. He's going to go off gracefully into the sunset.
It showed at the Orange Bowl. It really did.
It did. And then you also got to realize you got to put the pieces together. The Vikings GM is very well connected to Harbaugh. The Dolphins,
their new GM, by the way.
Yeah, the Dolphins. Yeah, the new GM. The Dolphins owner is also a Michigan alum, so there's a connection there. So, and then on top of that, his defensive coordinator, McDonald, just went to the Ravens with his brother. So I'm sure he knows something, because if his brother's hiring him, I'm sure McDonald saw the writing on the wall. So it's crazy that it's come to this. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. Because he screwed the pooch. He screwed the team over. He's going to set that team back probably 5 years by doing this, because they're going to be scrambling for a coach at this point. They don't have a coach really probably on staff.
I think Matt Campbell will be a hot name.
It's so late though.
People are saying Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell's not going to Michigan.
Zach Smith photoshopped Urban Meyer as a picture in a Michigan. I wanted to throw up. I did laugh though.
I laugh too, but I will tell you this right now. Urban Meyer, no chance he goes to Michigan. No chance.
No chance. It's just funny.
Yeah. The dude hates that school. Like, come on. I see a Matt Campbell. I heard Bill O'Brien's name, but also who Bill O'Brien going to New England as an offense coordinator since Josh McDaniel is headed to Las Vegas. And that will open up Josh Gattis going back down to Alabama. I mean, Michigan, they're going to be in shambles because spring ball starts in a month.
The one name that concerns me, and it's a fresh name, TB12. Tom Brady is the only person out there that like is kind of an X factor right now. I don't think he would be. I don't think they would go with him, if they needed a coaching vacancy, though, and he was going to do it for cheap. Because think about it. TB12 doesn't need any money at this point. He just wants to do something where his heart's in it. He's an alum there.
He wants to watch his kids grow up.
Yeah.
I think that's why he retired.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he saw this as an opportunity to get in and start coaching.
I will tell you who they will probably hire. Over Tom Brady. Charles Woodson.
No.
Desmond Howard. I don't think either.
Oh my God, Desmond Howard as the coach of Michigan.
I don't think either three would be a good head coach. I really don't.
What about Dabo?
I mean, after seeing Clemson's schedule today, do you honestly think that he would go to the Michigan? I mean, you're in another crappy conference, the ACC. who has no other good team. You play in Furman. Your Louisiana Tech is your – well, they do play South Carolina, which I – once we get into later in the season, I think that South Carolina will upset Clemson at the end of the year. We'll get more into that later on down in the road, maybe July. But Dabo, no chance. Matt Campbell is it. I know he's not a Michigan guy, but look at the success at Ohio State. Ryan Day was not an Ohio State guy. James Franklin was not a Penn State guy. I mean, you're looking at guys, sometimes you get to bring in, and I don't think Michigan has the IQ or the smarts to bring in a guy that's a non-Michigan guy. They want a Michigan guy. But the problem is all these schools' success have brought in guys that haven't been part of those universities. Dabo wasn't part of Clemson. He was an Alabama grad. Nick Saban wasn't part of Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban is just a damn good – one of the greatest head coaches of all time. Look at Lincoln Riley. He's now the head coach at USC. If Michigan wants to be relevant again, I mean, they were relevant last year. We'll give them that. But if they want to be relevant again, they have to go after a guy like a Matt Campbell who is not a Michigan guy. That's just me.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think too, this is coming to a head by Friday.
Spring ball starts in a month, folks.
Yeah, by Friday, I think we're going to know the answer once and for all.
I think we'll find out tomorrow that if Jim Harbaugh's hired.
Yeah, I think they might wait a day or two just on that.
But yeah, you're right. By Friday.
I think we'll get the Friday 4 p.m. news dump. Harbaugh has accepted the job with the Vikings. They're going to promote currently probably like Josh Gattis, if I would assume, to
interim head coach.
Interim head coach. That's what I think they would do. And then while they're actively seeking to hire some, maybe they hire Gattis. I mean, maybe they go with the Marcus Freeman route and just say, oh, Gattis, you're the guy now. You have a year to prove it or something. They might do that and just keep and bring on like some assistance.
Right. You're
there's a lot of ways they could play this. You have to keep in mind though, they're probably going to go with the cheap route because they don't have a lot of, like we said before, they lost a lot of money. In that lawsuit, they don't have a president. Obviously, COVID has put a stress on things. So I think they're going to go with the cheapest route possible here. That's my prediction.
I think you're absolutely right.
And then, it's going to set them back.
It could be a Luke Fickell situation at Ohio State. They go 6-7, and then they hire the guy they want.
Yeah, I could totally see that happen. I could totally see them saying, We're punting this season. We beat Ohio State last year. We won the Big Ten. We don't care about this season. As crazy as that sounds, they might look super, super long term and just say, we're done the season. Like, fans are going to come anyway and support the team because we got it done last year. I think they'll have a great early turnout. There'll be optimism going into the season. But, early November, they're out of it completely. Maybe fighting for the Outback Bowl or Capital One Bowl, but it's
question. Harbaugh leaves. What names could you possibly see in the portal? You have three stud running backs. They have three stud running backs. I think two now because Haskins is probably gone, right?
But
you'd have Corum and that freshman.
I don't think you would see much of them in the portal. I don't.
What about
believe
the quarterback
that.
Situation? McCarthy, McNamara.
I could potentially see McCarthy in the portal. That's probably the only one that makes sense. Right. Maybe a guy like Ronnie Bell because he's coming off an injury. If
he's coming back, he's coming back though next year.
I know.
I would see an upperclassman. I'm right there with you. An upperclassman like a Ronnie Bell. Leaving. I know Jabo and Hutchinson are gone. Those are the only ones I could think. I think, yeah, you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Ronnie Bell could be that guy by next week.
Is it worth, like, if you're a Ronnie Bell and you're rehabbing from a knee injury, is it worth coming back and playing a lost season without your head coach.
When you could possibly go to USC and be a number two wide receiver at USC with Caleb Williams. And
right away, showcase your talent. Don't have to play. And
which that went into our next good segue with Caleb Williams officially saying he's going to USC. I mean,
did we ever really truly think Wisconsin was a contender there? Because I think that was all for optics to make it seem like he
was going to bring back the triple option.
Yeah, he wasn't. Let's be honest.
There's no wide receivers.
This was all for optics to make it look like he wasn't just going with Lincoln Riley blindly. But that's what happened. He's going.
For sure.
Lincoln Riley just poached OU, got his quarterback. They're going to LA
for sure.
Living the life, making money, enjoying the weather. They're probably gonna win the Pac-12, if I had to guess. The question is, do they go undefeated? Do they win it with two losses? I think they're probably going to be a two-loss team still at best. I think they'll be massively overhyped, but I think they probably still win the Pac-12 because they will be the strongest program.
My question is where JT Daniels is going to go? Again. So, anyways,
Rutgers.
Speaking of transfers, we have one of the best transfers ever in college football history, who went on to LSU, won a national championship at LSU, gets drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, number one overall, and then blows out his knee after eight games, and then in year two, he's taking his team to the Super Bowl. And that man is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow. Nobody's more hyped than me on this show, obviously, for obvious reasons. I know Dan is ecstatic that the Chiefs lost because he hates the Chiefs because he's a Broncos fan. But my Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56, my man.
I'm happy for you, buddy. It was quite a game. I'm not going to lie. I left at halftime because I had to go play soccer because I do a Sunday league. Game starts at 6, but I was watching the game on my way there. And as I'm leaving, my neighbor Larry is a Bengals fan. I left at halftime and I told him like, "Oh, I'm leaving. Doesn't look too good for you guys." And I guess I reverse cursed it because I'm not gonna lie. I've picked against the Bengals in every pick'em in the playoffs this year. I've gotten it wrong every time, and I'm going to keep the trend going in the Super Bowl because I just got it. I don't want to be the reason why they don't win now at this point. I got to keep picking against them. But we're at the game playing soccer, and it was in overtime, and it was right after Von Bell picked it off, and the game started, and we were getting live updates, and someone goes, "The Bengals won!" And literally they stopped two soccer matches going in the middle of the game, and everyone just started clapping like it was a standing ovation for the Bengals because they did the impossible. So kudos to the Bengals. Kudos to the Buckeyes. Obviously Burrow, but we got Isaiah Prince, Von Bell making the biggest play of his life. Eli Apple with the biggest play of his life too on that.
We'll get more into Eli Apple, but Sam Hubbard had a
monster
game. He forced Mahomes into so many uncharacteristic plays. Almost had a strip sack, but Thuney recovered it for the Chiefs.
Oh yeah, he almost ended the game.
Yeah, he could have ended the game right there. But I mean, here's the deal with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is a Buckeye. He got a bachelor's degree from Ohio State. Still wears an Ohio State wristband with his LSU wristband. The dude is a Buckeye, but he's not a Buckeye at the same time. You know, catch my drift. Barely saw any action at Ohio State, did the smart move, went to LSU, struggled his first season, balled out his last season. And Buckeye fans, hear me out. I love Joe Burrow and I love Dwayne Haskins. We got it right. I mean, Burrow was a projected fifth round pick going into the 2019 season. Haskins threw for 50 touchdowns. I It was a win-win situation. I'm tired of justifying this argument.
I honestly don't care. I'm just happy he's doing good. I'm so sick when I tell you I'm so sick of trying to justify this and trying to be like, well, this like I don't care. I'm just happy he's doing good. I'm happy it worked out for everyone. Dwayne Haskins got drafted in the first round. Burrow won a natty first overall. I think it worked out for everyone in the long run.
Yes, it did.
It really did. And my biggest thing is just I would have liked to know what would have happened if he didn't break his hand. That's all. That's all that intrigues me.
Fair enough.
If he didn't break his hand summer 2017, how does that competition play out? I think obviously that gave Haskins the edge because he broke his hand. Burrow broke his hand. Haskins.
Absolutely correct.
Got all the second team reps that summer, that fall. Filled in for the Michigan game when JT Barrett hurt his knee, threw a big pass, and making that big play, stepping in that role, I think gave the coaches some extra confidence in Haskins when it came to the spring, even though it was a quote-unquote battle. I think he always had the upper hand since Burrow got that injury. And also, too, that's a broken hand. That's a tough injury to cut. I believe it was on his throwing hand too. I've had a broken hand. It's a tough injury. You do got to rehab.
I think it was right in here too.
Yeah, that's a tough injury. So not only are you trying to win the starting job, you're also playing with an injury, and that people I don't think understand how tough that is, especially when Haskins is a good thrower. I think too, we didn't see how good Burrow was going to be because of that injury until his senior year, because that's an injury that takes a year or two to heal. It really does. Because when you break your hand, you gotta rehab. I still have the scars from it, and it's right here on me. So that's a really tough injury to overcome.
And then on Burrow's, I think it's right here on it, which if you're quarterback, I mean, come
still,
on.
Yeah, it's throwing, right. Flicking the wrist on the ball. I'm not a quarterback, but after getting my pins removed and stuff from here, even throwing a baseball or tennis ball, I was a little off with it because I was putting too much rotation on it.
You're correct.
It's weird. It's weird how you wouldn't think it's a big injury, but it is, and it's not a quote unquote. You don't think it's a big injury because it's not an ACL. Right. They're not moving or they're not in a wheelchair, but it probably affects him more than his ACL. I truly believe that. Cause you see in the game against the Chiefs, he's outrunning Chris Jones and making those crazy runs. So, I mean, ACL looks great.
Yeah. He's a beast, but let's go back. I mean, congratulations to Jordan Fuller, by the way, captain for the Los Angeles Rams. But I mean, this is Ohio. We're Ohio State show, congratulations, Jordan Rams. Jordan Fuller, he's going to play Cincinnati Bengals, but the Bengals have more former Buckeyes on their team. But one in particular has been all season topsy-turvy, and that's Eli Apple. I think his whole career has been that way. But the dude came up bad in the first half, complete 180 in the second half. Well, actually –
I don't think he did that bad.
For 29 minutes and 55 seconds, Eli Apple was until he made that huge tackle on Tyreek Hill. By the way, Tyreek Hill had zero catches after that. Eli Apple could have had a pick six to seal the game, but obviously he's trying to catch the ball back here.
Yeah.
But Eli Apple came up big. And now he's trolling Hardman and Hill, saying
he's going to get them tickets,
get them Super Bowl tickets for the Super Bowl. I love Eli Apple's attitude. I think he's brought a lot of the charisma along with, because you got to think him and Von Bell played together at Ohio State for 3 years. They got the chemistry. Adding Jesse Bates, adding Awuzie and Mike Hilton, that secondary is sneaky good, folks.
Eli Apple, he's an easy target because he's outspoken. He the style he plays, I think he's susceptible to getting burnt a lot. because he plays a lot, obviously, in corner. But he's a good player. I think he's honestly a pretty
solid
starter at this point, a good veteran. I think he really found a home with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's had a good year for you guys. 10 pass breakups, 2 interceptions on the season. That's a pretty good year, honestly. And he doesn't get enough credit. He's a good tackler. He's a good tackler in the run game. I think he's he's a big corner too. So you're not running on him. He's big. He's fast. Runs a 4.4. You're not going to run downhill on him. He's going to stick his nose in the run game. And he held you held Hill and Kelsey under 100 yards. You held them to 24 points. Yes, you're playing the Chiefs. You're going to give up some big plays. That's okay. But it's that bend don't break mentality that I think we see from 2014, the national championship team with Von Bell and Eli Apple. That's kind of what our defense you're
adding,
was.
And you're adding Sam Hubbard, too.
Mm-hmm.
That bend don't break mentality. And Keandre Jones, who ended up graduating from Maryland, also plays for the Bengals, who plays special teams. So you're bringing that Buckeye attitude. And if you want to say Isaiah Prince, probably one of the worst starting offensive tackles in the league, I thought he held his own. Burrow was only sacked one time Sunday. But I'm hyped because of the Super Bowl. I'm a huge Bengals fan. This is something, my grandpa would be proud. He's not a big NFL guy, but he loves seeing the family happy, especially, myself, who's a big, sports fan. Hell, even my brother, who's a Steelers fan, is happy to finally see myself get a chance to watch my team go and win a Super Bowl, because I've never witnessed it, and he's gotten to witness it at least three times.
The videos of you smoking the cigar, going nuts when they kicked the field goal, I was happy to see. You deserved it. You deserved it after this whole week, this whole, the ordeal with your grandpa. I think it was a good moment for you, and I'm happy. My question to you is, what is – because obviously we know Cincinnati is skyline chili or chili for the meal you're going to do for your Super Bowl party. What are you doing from L.A.? Like kale? Gluten-free salad?
Street tacos. Possibly some street tacos, but my wife and my mother is thinking about doing a dessert from L.A. And when we were looking up L.A. desserts, ice cream cookie sandwiches, taking some homemade cookies and putting some ice cream on them, making sandwiches out of that.
L.A. invented those?
They didn't invent them. It's just over there, there's a lot of ice cream shops that offer that.
I think they all offer that, Kat. I think everywhere you go.
When I looked it up, 8 of the top 15 said, go get a sandwich here. Go get an ice cream sandwich here. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the thing, too. Street tacos, street tacos, are a big thing over there. We have been hearing Korean barbecue over there. Also, ice cream cake. So we're going to have 2 big pots of chili because Cincinnati – I don't know if you can go in the video, one of the videos, you can hear my mom in the background before saying McPherson. I think she's yelling chili, chili, because she has no dog in the fight. And she kept saying, we want chili the whole game. And, I think my brother, that's a real reason why my brother was rooting for the Bengals, because he wants the chili. But the Cassinger, Super Bowl party, we came up with this. The Rams and – I think it was the Rams and Eagles Super Bowl. We had all got our heads together, and my wife was kind of into this too. Let's come up with something big that, each city is real big on. And we're still doing research on L.A. I mean, I know we had L.A. before, and I think we did the same thing, was the ice cream sandwiches thing, because – that year they played the Patriots. That was a hard – actually, no, we did deli sandwiches. There's Cass smoking a piece.
I just want to show this to everyone. This is Cass right here smoking his cigar after the game.
It wasn't lit very well. It was not
yet.
It was not lit.
Here, I'll light your cigar. Light your cigar a little bit with my lightsaber.
It was not lit very well because I'm not a smoker. But – I'll have to post the picture of my brother. My brother looks like a straight out of an Ice Cube movie. If you zoom in on his face, all that smoke is around him, and he just looks. but yeah, we tried to pull the Joe Burrow. The two playoff games, I kind of half chugged a beer because I'm older now and I can't chug beer anymore. And like I used to. And I decided we're going to pull the Joe Burrow and, you know, smoke the cigar. And we didn't. I only smoked a little bit of it, and we saved it for the Super Bowl. So we're excited in this household. Got some two big pots of chili coming, and you know, maybe some LA desserts. We'll do more, a little bit more research on that.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So next week is our Super Bowl show. It's going to be, just heads up to all the listeners, not a ton of Ohio State stuff we're going to do next week. It's going to be all dedicated to the Super Bowl. It is going to be mostly a Super Bowl show. I am going to be the mediator because we're going to have about four or five Bengals fans on this feed.
As of right now, it's going to be Grant Kincaid, a writer, and Blake Biscardi. Is that how you say his last name?
Blake.
They're the two. I don't think Blake is a Bengals fan, so he'll be the mediator, but I think he's definitely rooting him. Possibly Dave. I think him and Blake are going back and forth between who's going to be on, but definitely Grant Kincaid is going to be on, and myself, obviously. I might be wearing my Joe Burrow jersey. You never know. Which is weird, folks, because I ordered my AFC Championship shirt. Obviously, I wear a bigger size. I ordered one for my mom's boyfriend, and my mom's boyfriend wears an extra large. His shipped today. Mine says it probably won't be here until February 7th, and I'm not happy about that.
I have a question for you. I was looking on DHgate for jerseys, and I just want your honest opinion. They had the 2017 Penn State, like, gray, and you can get it customized. And one of the options was a Joe Burrow 9. So, Matt, how cool would that be, a Penn State 2017 gray Joe Burrow jersey?
Should be a number 10, by the way.
Yeah, it was 10, 9 or 10.
My brother actually ordered he was going to order the LSU Joe Burrow jersey, but it spelled B-U-R-R-E-A-U-X or something like that. But, you know, my brother is a huge Joe Burrow fan. How can you not like Joe Burrow? But
everyone likes Joe Burrow. No one doesn't like
this jersey's DHgate, and it's good quality. The NFL jerseys fit better than the college, in my opinion. So, which, by the way, I know it's kind of but this was my last DHgate jersey. Now that we're allowed to buy player jerseys, you know, starting in the summer, but I have a Jackson Smith and Jigba Rose Bowl patch jersey coming. So excited about that one. So, yeah.
I'm still going to buy DHgate, baby. I don't care. Got to cut out the middlemen. So it's all about – sorry, NIL.
Yeah, NIL. I'm glad to be back here. I'm starting, you know, Saturday's going to be very hard, but I'm glad to be back on doing something I love. And it's our first video show. We've been doing this for 4 years now. First video show. We got a lot to do this year. Because we're going to be talking, we're not going to stop like we normally do. We're going to be talking in baseball. And hopefully we get some credentials for baseball.
And it's going to be really deadly that we figured out this green screen today. Just want to let everyone know. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. So, I got some editing to do before I start heading down to Georgia, about a 9 to 12 hour drive, depending on how many times we stop. But yeah, wish us luck. It's going to be first time the whole entire family has been together in probably over 10 years, due to the fact that cousins having to work, you know, on some things. And
wow.
Yeah. So I just, you know, again, thank you all for being the people that you are and getting the thoughts and prayers. And you, Dan, we've been friends for 4 years now. You've developed into one of my best friends, and you've been there every step of the way, you know, texting almost every day, seeing if I'm okay, how I'm doing. And I really appreciate, man, you're my dog.
Absolutely, buddy. I'm just glad you look like you're doing much better. I'm happy that you're doing much better. I'm happy that your team's in the Super Bowl. If it couldn't be the Broncos, then I'm glad it's your team because the Broncos are nowhere near the Super Bowl at this point. I think actually, Vegas did have us, I think, top five because they did price in Aaron Rodgers coming to us. So just want to say, maybe a future Bronco.
Maybe. So.
But, I mean, that's all I got, Cass. Anything else before I wrap us up?
Nope. Next week's Super Bowl, we'll talk more a little bit about, you know, we'll talk more about basketball. We'll get, you know, the games that are going on, and then we'll dive into the Super Bowl kind of like we usually do for our football. And then that might be our last football talk until we get to the spring. Shout out to our boy's girlfriend for the awesome new logo behind us. Got the glasses for Cass, got the, you know, the headphones. Carson, aka we know him as Chugs, but can't really say Chugs. Dude, you did an awesome job your girlfriend and yourself did an awesome job on that logo, man.
It's so fire. I mean, it's everything we needed, I think, and it fits so good with the Silver Bulletin website. I just can't wait. I love it.
So that being said, go Bucks, everybody. Beat Iowa and Purdue this week, and we'll get in depth next week, man.
That does it for another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.